हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanopanayanam, chapter 25. This is Natyashastra. Dealings of an expert gallant with courtesans. Right. So then how this is portrayed on the stage and all this. What are the characteristics, how they would interact, as we saw. Because you're always trying to just bring about a flavor like that. You don't want to invoke anamoya or sensuality. So all these things is that the refined points of it, the high class points of it and all that, that's what's there. That's what's used. So you have to know what those are and everything like that. Adhyaya Prakashika. Having discussed the first type of etiquette in dealings of love affairs between men and women, which dealt with the dealings of kings with his wives and other high-born ladies, the current chapter elaborates on the second type, which involves dealings of an expert gallant with the courtesans. Notice this word expert. Prabhupada also uses the term expert when it comes to these things. Because if you're not expert, it doesn't apply. So you see Prabhupada's using the word expert in the way of sense gratification. If they're not, it's not the sense gratification itself. It's not the activity, it's the expertise. Yeah. And that expertise is, as we'll see, what expertise means, right? This chapter details on different aspects of the masculine and feminine psychology, such as qualities of men which impress the women, qualities of a female messenger who unites the lovers, the different types of disposition women show to their lovers, the different kinds of men and women based on their qualities, and the psychological approach of men towards women, right? So because you're going to have in drama, you're doing things that are happening in life, either happening in the life of those who are transcendental, those who are the demigods or other great personalities or common people. But the point is in that, then this combination between men and women, that aspect is always going to be a prominent element within it. Right? Unless it's a drama just on chivalry and heroism, on battles and that, then you might not see it. But that'll be a very specific drama. But in general, you'll see it'll always have all these mixed in. It'll always have the conjugal and the heroic, you know, somehow entwined together. That's interesting, right? Because there's the energy and all that. There's the sweetness and that. There's that simplicity, but at the same time is. So then you have to see what the psychology, because that's the part you're bringing out. You're trying to bring out what's the subtlety in the psychology and those interactions as opposed to anything physical. So that's, yes.
Can we say that actually drama, dance, you know, it's mainly it is the main teaching for person who has no other teaching like Guruku, like that, for the audience?
Is a main teaching for those who don't. Yeah, you could say in crowds in general, the general mass of people, they'll get a lot of benefit if it's done properly. They'll get a lot of benefit from all the fine arts, the performing arts,
yes,
let's say.
Yes.
And so, like that, even the visual arts, if it's done nicely, then one gets a lot of benefit from that. Yes?
In villages, all the old ladies, mm-hmm. they know all the stories of the Purana just by watching these dramas. And
yeah, true.
Their
true.
Knowledge is through this.
Yes.
They don't
yeah.
have any other
also,
things.
All the kids,
yes.
they hear all
yes.
the storytellers. And yeah, so it's like you say, it's a very major aspect. So that's why it has to be done in such a way
yes.
as to uplift all these people. That's what it's for. But otherwise, if it's just used for economic,
yes.
then that means you have to do something that the people, audience, will be happy with.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and so then you please the senses.
Yes.
Like that, because then you're sure that you're going to, you know, get a good result. But when it's switched and it's focused on on uplifting the consciousness, because that's what's everyone's doing that, the consciousness does get uplifted, and now people appreciate this kind of presentation. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 8. Characteristics of an expert gallant. The 9 to 17. Qualities of a female messenger. Then the three kinds of disposition of women towards their beloved. The three types of women according to their qualities. Four stages of a woman's youth. Five types of men based on their dealings with women. Proper psychological approach towards women. A courtesan's mercenary treatment of men. Yeah, so all these aspects then are being presented, because this is the reality of how it works. You can say, oh, this is all technical, but this is actually how it works. So if this is understood, then it can be properly shown, and then people know the standard and they come up to that standard. Right? Because this isn't just an opinion. You know, okay, this is, you know, the opinion of those in India and stuff like that. No, this is Krishna's opinion. This is how it works. And so you can make it, not degrade, distort. You can distort these things, you know, or try to organize it in a different way, but this makes it very clear and very straightforward. And then from here, then you'll get detail. Yeah? So verses 1 to 8, characteristics of an expert gallant. This is expert gallant, not just a guy who thinks he's, you know, a gallant or something. One excelling, Vishesha Shayet, in all the arts, Kala, is called a Vaisheshika, specialist. Or one is also called Vaishika because of his dealings with the courtesans, Vaishyo Pachara. Right, means especially that they're very expert in all these things, excelling in the arts, you know, like that. A man who has learned all the arts, kala, and is an adept in all the crafts, shilpa, and can captivate the heart of women is called a vaishika, expert gallant. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's what we're talking about here, because regular old Joes, that's no one wants to see them on the stage. You want to see someone who's really good. Right? You know, that has to be inspiring, right? His 33 characteristic qualities are briefly of three classes, right? So it means there's going to be 33 characteristics that this expert gallant has. And are briefly of three classes: physical, extraneous, aharya, and psychological, sahaja. So himself, you know, physically like that, other things, and then his psychological, and then other things that he is able to deal with. One is very well, so these are the 33. One who is very well versed in the Shastras, right? So he knows Shastra, he's not an idiot. Skilled in arts, crafts, right? Because in arts, you know, the crafts are then the practical things, like that. Well formed means, you know, physically looks very good. That's what I was saying about the physical. You know, that means these others are skills that he has, right? Pleasant looking. So it's not that he also looks nice, but he's also pleasant. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, because otherwise you can look good and look uninviting because the attitude is wrong. Powerful, right? There must be energy in that. Mm-hmm. Possessing self-command, he has to be able to control himself. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's comfortable with himself and comfortable like that. Desirable age, you know, for the particular individual that's there, you know, because otherwise if he's like, you know, boss baby, it may not come across so well, you know, like that. Dress and pedigree, right? So you're going to have the age, the dress, and the pedigree is going. So dress also has to be proper. You can't be a slob, right? You know, slob attracts slobinis, right? Okay, like that. Pedigree means he knows how to behave. He knows how to deal. He knows all these things. Is friendly, surabhi. Means he has to be nice, approachable, and all that. Otherwise, if you don't feel safe, sweet tempered, right? He's not grumpy and all that. Munificent, right? Very kind, patient. You know, things take time because otherwise things go wrong, or things take time if you get all angry and this won't not gonna work. Free from bragging, right? Ladies don't like it if you brag.
What is meaning of
bragging? Bragging, it means you're talking about your own self-accomplishments.
Boasting.
Yes, you know, I was the best in this and that, and, you know, from, you know, that kind of thing. The ladies don't like that. The men, you know, they sit around, oh, hey, cool, I can do better than that, you know. Ladies just don't like it, because then it's about you or it's about them. So if you're bragging, then you're not talking about them.
Yes.
Right? So that's the thing. He may say these things, okay, so he's qualified, then they'll check out. And then, if checking out, they see that he can only brag, then no one's interested. Fearless, right? So he'll take on whatever needs to be taken on. Accustomed to use sweet words. Like that, it's not that he just puts that on when he needs. That's how he's accustomed to using. Clever, right? So that's a practical intelligence. Elegant, right? So then, you know, it has that refinement. Clean in his habits. Ladies don't like dirty people. Expert in the practice of love, right? So here it even says expert in that. The other things it just says, it doesn't say expertly clean. It's expert in the practice of love. He has to very much know that in those techniques, yes.
This aspect of free from bagging, I just remember the pastime of Lord Ramachandra and Mother Sita. Once when they were in the forest, one of those light moods, then Mother Sita says, you always carry this bow. Do you use it any time also? He says, doesn't say anything. Keeps quiet. When the current Dushan attacks, he says, Lakshmi, you get aside. He says, I have to show to other Sita that what I can do.
Yeah, that I can use the bow. Yeah, yeah, so see, he doesn't brag. Yeah. They're also patient. You know, he'd have to be patient for that. He'd have to be possessing self-command to do all that. So all these things work together. Yeah, he said, I'll take care. Sure. Okay. Expert in the practice of love, honest, right? So that you know it's trustworthy here. Able to act suitably to time and place, right? Because if they don't know how to act there, then it'll be an embarrassment and this and that. Women don't like to be with people that embarrass them. Speak of no disgraceful words. Speaker of no disgraceful words. He won't see anything that's uncultured. Accustomed to speak smilingly. So also it would be very pleasant. You see, the words are sweet like that, but also smiling, you know, rather than just sober and, you know, like that. Eloquent. So then you can very nicely use the language and all that. You know, he knows what they mean and how to speak it. Careful, right? So then when he's approaching or dealing, he's careful and aware of what's going on and all that. He doesn't just, he's not like a bull in a china shop. Right? Does that make sense?
But Maharaj, the person, he's like a Mahatma.
well, let's finish it and then we'll hear. Sweet-tongued. Okay? You know, so he can say things very, very poetically and all that. Greedless as a partner. Right? So as a partner, he may get what he likes, but when it concerns the partner, it's not about anything for himself. It's all about how to get things for the partner.
Yes.
Full of faith, right? He can't be a faithless person, is always disturbed and this and that. He has his faith. He's fixed like that. So this is nothing. You see, he's strong. He's fixed. He's pleasant. He's approachable. He's qualified. You see all these different aspects. Firm in resolve. He's decided on something, that's going to happen. Not rash. He doesn't do anything crazy. Because it means if he's crazy, then it means it's unstable. It's not steady. So where's the gain in safety, right? Making confidence. What does that mean? Making confidence to accessibility. Oh, making confidence to accessible Gamya women and has a sense of self-respect. Basically, it means. Accessible women, he's making them confident, and he has a sense of self-respect. He has all that, he's called an expert gallant. So in the Western, you could probably say, at least in the urban legend, you have Casanova.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, he's that. He has, you see, oh, nice qualities like that are there. And so that's the whole thing. And anybody you see that has like this, they make the proper person. Like that. So, you see, at the same time, it's like you said, they're a Mahatma. These same qualities are the ones that you would use in Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So the point is these are the natural qualities and behaviors of someone who is Krishna conscious. And so, therefore, someone who's pious would have all these qualities of someone who's Krishna conscious. And so then within that piety, what you're attracted to, then you would have these qualities. So here a gallant, he's attracted to interacting with the ladies. And so then, but he still needs the same qualities. Right? Krishna is the most attractive. He has all the energies. Why are they there? Because he has all these qualities. Right? So the point comes down to is that if you perform devotional service, you develop all the qualities of the demigods. Everything goes nicely. You don't have to worry about... That's the thing is here, they're worried about these things and cultivate these things for their own position and gain. But the devotee, he's cultivating Krishna consciousness, and these things just come automatically. Because you see, none of them here are in the way of sensual. They're all qualities that you would use in Krishna consciousness, but these are in the context of how you would deal with ladies. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we see here is that it there's nothing gross, there's nothing, so that's the thing, it's very refined. According to another, sorry.
So we can say that all these qualities are automatically, at least in a person who is under the goodness mode.
Goodness, but here they're gallant is passion. See, goodness, passion means you're following all the proper rules, but you have a motive. Yes. So in other words, if you had all these because this is the way you're supposed to deal in etiquette for dealing with other living entities, because it's your duty, that would be goodness. I'm doing this because I'll get benefit in the way of attention from ladies, that's passion.
Yes. Yes.
That we saw before, dealing of kings with... His wives and other. That was like, that's why it is called internal or higher, and this is called lower because of the.
Yeah, because you'll see this outside with the king's net, it'll be more subtle and only be inside the. You won't see it.
Yes.
This you'll see.
Yes.
Because the other ones you saw, it's just very subtle in this and that. Well, and these things you'll see the interaction, we'll see as they. There'll be a little bit of posturing and stuff like that, but not much. But it's more than what the kings. Kings and that, it's all just in the face and things like that. The man might stand a little bit, this and that, but the women, it's only just in the face, looks, eyes. You know, basically a little bit movement of the hand, but not standing around and stuff like that. But for the courtesans, they'll be standing around. Why are they courtesans? What do? You stand around, wait until some gallant comes along and pays attention. Yeah. Yeah. According to another authority, his six special qualities are that he should be devoted to his love affairs, clean in his habits, self-possessed, honest, dignified, have a suitable age and ability to talk on various topics. Titrabhi jayi. So in other words, these 33 are divided into physical,
yes.
You know, then how he then his psychology, and then how he deals with the world. How he interacts outside. So here, you could say those, then these six would be your prominent of them. Everything else would be underneath these. So you see here, devoted love affairs, clean, devoted to his love affairs means, as we saw before, though, he's greedless. So it's not about himself. So devoted means to how to take care of the others and everything like that. Udriti. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in NOD that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the embodiment of all the 64 auspicious qualities, of which many correspond to the qualities of an expert gallant. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on these characteristics in NO1, chapter 21. Right, so all these come from Krishna, because he's the one that attracts. Otherwise, you don't have 16,108 wives because you're a bozo. Right? Like that. You're the most attractive person. Means these 33 and more.
Yes.
Right?
And Maharaj, for Krishna, it is, you can say, eternally.
It's eternal. Yeah.
Means all these queen are eternally queen.
Yeah. No, it all works. You don't have to worry about becoming an old fuddy-duddy. You know, time to retire. You know.
Yes.
Like that. You know, so that's the thing is, everything in material world, everything has, because to qualify yourself like this and then how long you can run, and then at some point you have to retire. Because we even see, what's it? Not Casanova, that's music, right? No, Casanova. Who is it? Casanova is the guy we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, somehow another. Oh, that's bossa nova. It's a type of Brazilian music. Okay. Casanova. At one point he retired.
Yeah.
He went on there. And the funny about, you know what he did when he took brother? He went into drama. You know? And then it'll all be subtle and this and that. And Udriti. Beautiful bodily features. So these are qualities of Krishna, right?
Yes.
Nice. Any comparison of the different parts of the Lord's body to different material objects cannot factually be a complete comparison. Ordinary persons who cannot understand how exalted are the bodily features of the Lord are simply given a chance to understand by a material comparison. In other words, comparison in no way actually compares. But someone who has no idea, then the comparison gives some idea. It is said that Krishna's face is as beautiful as the moon. His thighs are powerful just like the trunks of elephants. His arms are just like two pillars. His palms are expanded like lotus flowers. His chest is like a doorway. His hips are dens. And the middle of his body is a terrace. Right, so terrace is flat, you know, flat, open, you know, it's not that big. Yeah, it's not a small mountain. Two, auspicious characteristics. There are certain characteristics of different limbs which are considered to be very auspicious and are fully present in the body of the Lord. In this connection, one friend of Nanda Maharaj, speaking about Lord Krishna's auspicious bodily symptoms, said, "My dear king of the cowherds, I can find 32 auspicious symptoms on the body of your son. I am wondering how this boy could have taken his birth in the family of cowherd men." Right? Because generally, this kind of physical, you know, things on the platform of karma, it would be just high-grade Brahmin families, or high-grade Kshatriya families, you might see it. It wouldn't be more general like this. Generally, when Lord Krishna appears, he does so in a family of Kshatriyas, kings, as did Lord Ramachandra, and sometimes in a family of Brahmins. But Krishna accepted the role of son to Maharaj Nanda, despite the fact that Nanda belonged to the Vaishya community. The business of the Vaishya community is trade, commerce, and protection of cows. Therefore, his friend, who may have been born into a Brahmin family, expressed his wonder at how such an exalted child could take birth in a family of Vaishyas. Anyway, he pointed out the auspicious signs on the body of Krishna to the boy's foster father. He continued, "This boy has reddish luster in seven places. His eyes, the ends of his hands," right? The ends of his hands means the palms. Right? "The ends of his legs" means the soles of the feet. Right? "His palate, his lips, his tongue, and his nails." Right? Yeah. A reddish luster in these seven places is considered to be auspicious. Three parts of his body are very broad: his waist, forehead, and chest. Three parts of his body are short: neck, thigh, and genitals. Right? Because sometimes you see in paintings or people that their thighs are quite big. That's how their height comes. But in these Vedic proportions, the thighs are not so big. The trunk will be, you know, everything just gets bigger.
Yes.
You know, but a lot of times you see some of them have very long legs, but the trunk's not much bigger. You know, this part's not so much bigger.
Yes.
But it's that there's a proportion between the shanks and then the thigh and then the torso and like that. So getting taller means all of that gets bigger.
Yes.
Like that. So then there's a nice proportion. That.
Many times, many people have 4:3 proportion.
Sorry?
Down is four, and up is three.
Okay.
Ideally, it should be half.
Half. Yeah. So
because their thighs are bigger.
Yeah. So it's much bigger. So there's like that. But it's supposed to be like you see old paintings and stuff like that. Krishna's thighs are short. Sometimes ours, because of the Western, we're more used to this longer thighs, and so we draw like that.
Yes.
But actually, they're shorter. They're not shorter, they're in proportion. Others are longer. Like that. Three parts of his body are deep: his voice, intelligence, and navel. There's highness in five parts of his body: his nose, arms, ears, forehead, and thighs. In five parts of the body there is fineness: his skin, the hairs on his head and other parts of his body, his teeth, and his fingertips. The aggregate of all these bodily features is manifest only in the bodies of great personalities. So we see as Krishna is the most attractive. The fate lines on the palm are also considered to be auspicious bodily symptoms. In this connection, one old gopi informed King Nanda, "Your son possesses various wonderful fate lines on his palms. There are signs of lotus flowers and wheels on his palms, and on his soles there are the signs of a flag, thunderbolt, a fish, a rod for controlling elephants, and a lotus flower. Please observe how auspicious these signs are." Pleasing. Beautiful bodily features which automatically attract the eye are called ruchira, pleasing. Krishna possesses this attractive feature of ruchira in his personal features. In the third canto, second chapter, verse 13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement about this. Quote, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his pleasing dress," like as before it mentioned about dresses also has to be proper and everything, "appeared on the scene at the sacrificial arena when King Yudhishthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. All important personalities from different parts of the universe had been invited to the sacrificial arena. And all of them, upon beholding Krishna there, considered that the Creator had ended all his craftsmanship in the creation of this particular body of Krishna." Right? So these attractive features are attractive for all. Right? Now it can be that some use it specifically just for attracting women. Right? And they also, because they're attractive, they kind of socially get out of trouble.
Yes.
You know, like that. But it's not their focus. But Krishna is just inherently attractive. Right?
So, Maharaj, can we say that any, like, in Vedic culture, any gentleman, like Brahmana or Kshatriya, know all these things?
Yes, they would know these things before. Previously, these were all, you know, kind of more general, not, at least in the higher aristocratic kind of level. The kings, the Brahmins.
You can learn that in Gurukul.
Yeah, I mean, there are things to be taught.
Yes.
You know, how much people catch it is another thing,
yes,
but it's taught.
Yes.
You know, it's not specifically as such taught. It's going through the, you know, you go through nectar devotion, then you learn these things.
Yes.
But, yeah. It is said that the transcendental body of Krishna resembles the lotus flower in eight parts. Namely, his face, his two eyes, his two hands, his navel, and his two feet. Oh, that's the last one, is the navel. Yeah. The gopis and inhabitants of Vrindavan used to see the luster of lotus flowers everywhere, and they could hardly withdraw their eyes from such a vision. So they would just see everywhere lotus flowers. Effulgent. The effulgence pervading the universe is considered to be the rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The supreme abode of Krishna is always throwing off the effulgence known as Brahma Jyoti, and that effulgence is emanating from his body. The luster of the hosts of jewels fixed on the chest of the Lord can defeat even the luster of the sun, and still, when compared to the bodily luster of the Lord, that crest of jewels appears to be only as bright as one of the stars in the sky. Means the jewels he wears is more bright than the sun and the moon, right? But then, compared to his luster, then they're just like a star in the sky, which means as soon as there's another light, you can't see them.
Right?
Therefore, the transcendental influence of Krishna is so great that it can defeat anyone. When Krishna was present in the sacrificial arena of his enemy, King Kamsa, the wrestlers present, although appreciating the softness of the body of Sri Krishna, were afraid and perturbed when they thought of engaging with him in battle. So he's very attractive, you know, that gentleness, that sweetness, but at the same time as by his brilliance, then they knew that, you know, it's going to be a problem wrestling with this person. Strong. A person who has extraordinary bodily strength is called Balyan. When Krishna killed Aristasura, some of the gopis said, "My dear friends, just see how Krishna has killed Aristasura. Although he was stronger than a mountain, Krishna picked him up just like a piece of cotton and threw him away without difficulty." Because Aristasura is a big bull, right? There's another passage where it is said, "Oh, my dear devotees of Lord Krishna, may the left hand of Lord Krishna, which has lifted Govardhan Hill like a ball, save you from all dangers." Right? So just even with his little finger, he's protecting all the Brajbasis and all that. So he's so strong. So also in the six qualities, the six opulence of Krishna, then one way you can look at him is also is that three of them, then it's physical strength in Sankarshan, the intellectual and the sensual strength in Prajumna, and the mental strength in Aniruddha. Yeah. And then, of course, the consciousness, that's then Vasudeva. So it's also as the power. So one of the ways the verses is given, it shows the power in these three. Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that way he's strong. Six, ever youthful. Krishna is beautiful at his different ages, namely his childhood, his boyhood, and his youth. Out of these three, his youth is the reservoir of all pleasures, and is the time when the highest varieties of devotional service are acceptable. For that, he's always attractive and always beautiful. But then, what kind of services are rendered? But then, you know, like that, there'll be prominence. But when you get up to youthfulness, then all five rasas are there. At that age, Krishna is full with all transcendental qualities and is engaged in his transcendental pastimes. Therefore, devotees have accepted the beginning of his youth as the most attractive feature in ecstatic love. At this age, Krishna is described as follows. The force of Krishna's youth was combined with his beautiful smile. Right, because it mentioned before, smilingly speaking in that, which defeated even the beauty of the full moon. He was always nicely dressed, in beauty surpassing even Cupid. And he was always attracting the minds of the gopis, who were thereby always feeling pleasure. So you see is that in that youthfulness, then you have, with that goes, the suitable dress, the elegance and all that. So like the six qualities mentioned before, you see is all these other ones will come under it. Wonderful linguist. Remember, it was also how he spoke and everything like that. Rupa Goswami says that a person who knows the languages of different countries, especially the Sanskrit language, which is spoken in the cities of the demigods, as well as other worldly languages, including those of the animals, is called a wonderful linguist. By these others, they may be able to speak nicely, may be able to speak a little bit of another language. They speak their own local language, and if they're fortunate, they might know a little French. Something that they do, to add to their wonderfulness here. But here, even Krishna can talk to the animals.
Yeah. Like that. And he did it.
Yes. It appears from this statement that Krishna can also speak and understand the language of animals. An old woman in Vrindavan, present at the time of Krishna's pastimes, once stated in surprise, "How wonderful it is that Krishna, who owns the hearts of all the young girls in Brajabhumi, can nicely speak the language of of Brajabhumi with the gopis." Well, in Sanskrit, so he'll speak Brajbhasa with the gopis, right? While in Sanskrit, he speaks with the demigods. And in the language of animals, he can even speak with the cows and buffalo. Similarly, in the language of the Kashmir province, and with the parrots and other birds, as well as most common languages, Krishna is so expressive, right? Because that's the point. Expressive means, emotions and feelings, and that can all be brought out. So that's the importance of being expert in the language, because then you can speak nicely with everybody, bring out, have proper exchanges. So you can see rasa is the point of it. So ultimately, rasa means it's about relation with Krishna. Right? So then you'll see is with Krishna, then these are the natural forms. Like that. Then with the great personalities, then these forms will be there, but they'll be using in context of their service to Krishna.
Yes.
Then you get down to those that are, it's on the material platform, it's for their own pleasure.
Yes.
Right? So, but the principle is the same, it's just who you use it for. She inquired from the gopis as to how Krishna had become so expert in speaking so many different types of languages. Truthful. A person whose word of honor is never broken is called truthful. Krishna once promised Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, that he would bring her 5 sons back from the battlefield of Kurukshetra after the battle was finished. When all the Pandavas had come home, Kunti praised Krishna because his promise was so nicely fulfilled. She said, "Even the sunshine may one day become cool, and the moonshine one day become hot, but still your promise will not fail." Similarly, when Krishna, along with Bhima and Arjuna, went to challenge Jarasandha, he plainly told Jarasandha that he was the eternal Krishna, present among the two of the Pandavas. The story is that both Krishna and Pandavas, in this case Bhima and Arjuna, were Kshatriyas, warrior kings. Jarasandha was also a Kshatriya and was very charitable towards the Brahmanas. Thus Krishna, who planned to fight with Jarasandha, went to him with Bhima and Arjuna in the dress of Brahmanas. Jarasandha, being very charitable towards the Brahmanas, asked them what they wanted, and they expressed their desire to fight with them. Right? He even had a doubt that they were Brahmins. But in Manu it mentions, even if someone's dressed as the Brahmin, if you give in charity to him because he's claiming to be a Brahmin, the return will be double of what you invested. Right? An ordinary person, like a poor person or anyone else, you give, you'll get back the same amount. But with someone who's not a Brahmin, who's dressed as a Brahmin, but even by giving to them, it's double. So it's good because of the consideration of a Brahmin. So Jarasandha, even though he's doubting, he originally brought him, but at the same time, as he's there with them, he's doubting whether they're actually Brahmins. But still, because they're even in that dress, they've come to him, even if they're someone else, because the symptoms appear that they're Kshatriyas. But if a Kshatriya has come and begged from him, Kshatriyas don't beg. That makes him a big guy. So he has no problem with it. You know, so it's in the consideration of them being Brahmins.
I'm always amazed to see that a personality can change their dress and other person, like Jarasandha, did not recognize.
Well, you have to be good at it.
Yes, yes.
Because there's also the mood. There's the mood.
They knew each other before, of course.
Yes, but the mood is then you have, it means if they're dressed as Brahmins, they'll take on that Brahminical mood.
Yeah, but the face is the same.
Yeah, but when you change the mood. Yes.
The face is the same. If you see in now modern, like these videos, short clips, many of the men dress as women and then you never know it.
Yeah.
They could do now, then what to speak about before.
Yeah.
You never know that they're men. It's like you can change your whole face by putting extra things and all.
Yeah, or even that, it just you change the attitude, it changes. So if you change the dress to something else and change the attitude, then it looks like, how do actors? It's the same guy.
Yes.
With them you take on and they're that personality.
I read some things like, there are some techniques how you, when you change, you have to do a like disguise. The head part, like, you know, how you cover it, and then, you know, here you have a beard, and then there are some places you put on eyes, something, and your whole face. It can be very simple, but you can change the whole thing.
Even in the things when they check, there's certain places that, if those are there, so you adjust that, then it.
We can also say that we never look with the eyes, we look with the mind.
We don't look with the eyes, we look with the mind.
So if you see Brahmanas, you don't expect.
Yes, yes, that's true. Because so you dress as a Brahman, you don't think more than that.
Yes.
You know, like that. So yeah. And it's one of the 64 arts to be able to dress up in a way that others can't understand who you are.
Yes.
No, because Krishna would dress up and they think he's another, you know, the girl from the heavenly planets or a gopi or like this, and so, yeah.
And as kings, everybody should know it because they go
out
in night.
Yes, they have to go out in incognito. So kings really have to know, because like Ramachandra, you went out and that. So it's a regular duty to go out because you're hearing from spies.
Yeah.
And so that's a regular thing, but you should go out now and again yourself so you actually know that it's confirmed. Because otherwise, if you go out and you see it's the same as what they're saying, then you know everything's going nice. If you go out and see it's different from what they're saying, then what's going on? Why do they say it's different? So did something just change, or is this person, something's wrong?
Double agent.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah, these kind of things. So they have to go out themselves. Because also, you know, how you know, the spies, it's not necessarily that they're that qualified of individuals by character.
Yes.
And so what they see, like as you were saying about the mind, they see with their mind. So they're looking for faults. They'll always find faults. But it may be there isn't a fault. Yeah, like that. So, then, okay. Jarasandha, being charitable towards Brahmins, asked them what they wanted, and they expressed their desire to fight with him. Then Krishna addresses a Brahmin, declared himself to be the same Krishna who was the king's eternal enemy. So once he agreed to the fight, then he showed, I'm Krishna. And so then he said, I thought there was something strange here. Okay, but he says, you know, so then it's consideration, because, you know, otherwise he would have fought with all of them. But Krishna, you're my enemy, I'm not fighting with you, because you ran off. You're because the last fight, he ran off, you know, Rancho. And that. And so then the next one, then Arjuna, then he's not as matched because he's, you know, as strong as 10,000 elephants. Where will be the, you know, I mean, bows and arrows, yeah, but physical, no. But then with Bhima, now he's a match. So he said, here, we can, you know, because then it'll be clubs and wrestling and like that. 9, pleasing talker. Person who can speak sweetly, even with an enemy, just to pacify him, is called a pleasing talker. Krishna was such a pleasing talker that after defeating his enemy Kaliya in the water of Jamuna, he said, "My dear king of the snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. It is my duty to protect these cows, which are worshipped even by the demigods. Only in order to save them from the danger of your presence have I been obliged to banish you from this place." Right, because then you're giving, not that you're a nonsense and this and that. No. It's just, this is the standard. You know, I protect the cows. And the cow, they come here, they drink the water. You saw before they drank the water, they all died. And so to protect them, therefore I have to chastise you and banish you. So don't be, and the way he presents it, because everybody knows cows are respectful. So the Nagas know that. You know, so then he can't be upset. So it means just very, how to do that. And then the tone and everything will be very nice. Kaliya was residing within the water of the Jamuna, and it was, as a result, the back portion of that river had become poisoned. Thus, so many cows who had drunk the water had died. Therefore, Krishna, even though he was only 4 or 5 years old, dipped himself into the water, punished Kaliya very severely, then asked him to leave the place and go elsewhere. Krishna at that time said that the cows are worshipped even by the demigods, and he practically demonstrated how to protect the cows. At least people who are in Krishna consciousness should follow in his footsteps and give all protection to the cows. Cows are worshipped not only by the demigods. Krishna himself worshipped the cows on several occasions, especially on the days of Gopastami and Govardhan Puja. 10. Fluent. A person who can speak meaningful words with all politeness and good qualities is called Vavaduka, or fluent. There's a nice statement in Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So, meaningful words in all politeness. So, you're speaking meaningful words, but it's not necessarily polite or said with, you know, in a pleasant way. Then you might be very, you know, you know, he can exactly express himself. But here it's that it's politeness, it's this and that, you know. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a nice statement in Srimad Bhagavatam regarding Krishna speaking politely. When Krishna politely bade his father, Nanda Maharaj, to stop the ritualistic offering of sacrifice to the sun god, rain god Indra, a wife of one village cowherd man became captivated. She later thus described the speaking of Krishna to her friends. Krishna was speaking to his father so politely and gently that was as if he were pouring nectar into the ears of all those present there. After hearing such sweet words from Krishna, who will not be attracted to him? Krishna's speech, which contains all good qualities in the universe, is described in the following statement by Uddhava. The words of Krishna are so attractive that they can immediately change the heart of even his opponent. His words can immediately solve all the questions and problems of the world. Although he does not speak very long, each and every word from his mouth contains volumes of meaning. These speeches of Krishna are very pleasing to my heart. So Uddhava, and Uddhava, he's been trained by Brihaspati. Yes. So if anybody would know who is fluent, that would be Uddhava. 11. Highly learned. When a person is highly educated and acts strictly on moral principles, he is called highly learned, right? So both. Highly, it means educated and acts strictly on moral principles. That combination. Person conversant in different departments of knowledge is called educated. And because he acts on moral principles, he's called morally stout. Together, these two factors constitute learning. So in the Vedas, when we say you have an education, you're learned, it means it has to include character.
Yes.
That's the problem with the modern. It's a skill for economics, no character. And then because of lack of character, one may apply it nicely and work very nicely, or one may not.
Yes.
You know, so it's not enough. You know, people are looking for some satisfaction in social interaction. But if the people don't have the character, it won't be found. If everybody's just looking out for themselves, you know, now, yeah, you can be, you can do, you can be what you want, what you feel, be yourself. These are all nice, but you see they're all self-centered. And it's all about the profit you'll get. You can be anything you want, get anything you want, do anything. So it's all about you, self-centric, accomplishing whatever you desire. But now, if everybody's like this, where's going to be the interaction? Because where is it being said about, you know, being selfless, not being greedy? And means even though on the gallant, all those things, is that what anybody discusses? When the guys are down at the pub talking about the women, are they discussing these qualities? No.
Maybe only in the drama.
Yeah. Maybe only in the drama. And so therefore in Krishna's pastimes, so he's dressed like a dramatic actor and like that.
Okay. Prabhupada uses this word expert gallant for Krishna.
Krishna, yeah, because he's an expert gallant. You see, he's cultured, he's refined, he's the man. Like that, and you can see wherever there are some of these qualities, someone is attractive.
Yes.
You know, they become more attractive. And where they're not, then they're not. Does that make sense?
And Krishna can attract eternally all living entities.
Yes. Yeah.
So
well, others then, you know, it gets old and it moves on. Or they get old and then everyone moves on.
Yes.
Like that. Krishna's receiving education from Sandipani Muni is described by Sri Narad Muni as follows. In the beginning, Lord Brahma and others are like clouds of evaporated water from the great ocean of Krishna. In other words, Brahma first received the Vedic education from Krishna, as the clouds receive water from the ocean. That Vedic education or instruction, which was spoken by Brahma to the world, was then reposed upon the mountain of Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni's instructions to Krishna are like a reservoir of water on the mountain, which flows as a river and goes again to mix with the source, the ocean of Krishna. So knowledge is coming from Krishna. It's coming through all the great personalities. That comes down to then, you know, a position where we can hear it. And that same reservoir of knowledge from Krishna, then is spoken, and it goes back to Krishna. So that's the position. Everything comes from Krishna. Everything goes back to Krishna. Right? And so then, because it's coming from Krishna and go back to Krishna, can we be a proper medium for working with that particular quality in a way that's pleasing to Krishna? Because it's coming from Krishna, you have to deal in the proper way, otherwise how will Krishna be happy? And in dealing the proper way, then it goes back to Krishna, how he'll like it. So it makes it very clear what we should do. And it's not a matter of, you know, oh, should we follow these rules or not? Or, you know, it's Kali Yuga, or we're Westerners. It's none of that. It's about, this is how Krishna is everything, so therefore this is how you deal with it. And you check. You can say, but we're not Indian. Anything that is outstanding in even non-Vedic elements it will be these qualities. Right? You take anyone, somebody who's seen as a hero or a great person, they'll have some aspect of these qualities. And then where they don't have the qualities, that's where then people will lose interest. Like that. It's just the way it is. Does that make sense? Yeah. Regarding his moral principles, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is ruling over Vrindavan as death personified to the thieves, as pleasing bliss to the pious, as the most beautiful Cupid to the young girls, and as the most munificent personality to the poor men. He is as refreshing as the full moon to his friends, and to his opponents he is the annihilating fire generated from Lord Shiva. Krishna is therefore the most perfect moralist in his reciprocal dealings with different kinds of persons. You know, so here is that there's a very different take on what moral principles are. Because they go beyond just the economic gain. You know? Because we're used to morality being applied within the position of pranamoya, you know, or anamoya. You know, it's basically, you know, just extended sense gratification. But here it's that this is nature. Morality means religion. Religion means the inherent nature of something and how that relates to Krishna, how it follows God's laws. So morality means God's laws. That's what morality means. This idea that morality means, oh, be good, be not. No, it's God's laws. That's why you're nice. So here's, yes.
Also, morality is also seen generally as you have to behave equally to everyone in that context.
Right? Yes.
It's never like that.
No, because it means if you're being moral, you're going to deal with different individuals differently. So that's the problem. They're talking equality, but individuality. But your individuality can't disturb the group. So then at the same time as they break down everything, any laws that are there to create a group to make this new group that is not a group that doesn't follow any rules. So it makes zero sense. Like that. So we see here's morality then comes down as the nature of how you say it? What is the actual proper way of dealing with a particular time, place, and circumstance? You know, yourself, how you're supposed to deal in that, how that would be pleasing to the Lord. That's morality. Everything else is derived from that. So they have to follow the laws of God. So any morality will only work. Just like, let's say, honor among thieves. Right? So it if you want thieves to cooperate, there must be honor between them. Right? It means they make a plan, they have to execute it together. They get the result, they have to share it according to what was discussed.
Honesty.
Sorry?
Honesty. It's honesty. Honor is different. Honesty among them.
It's honor among. It's also like that. It means that, you know, you don't steal from you. You respect the others and stuff like that. So you have to have these qualities even there, but it's only applied there. Otherwise, their thieving won't work. So it's even there, Krishna. You know, his laws even go there. He's the cheater of the cheats. You know. So it's like a. You can't. You can't con a con man. Does that mean anything? No? A con man is someone who cheats people. I don't know what the full word is, but it comes from a con artist. He comes and presents himself in one way and all that, gets your confidence, and then cheats you and takes everything. I don't know. I think there's an original big word, and then con is just confidence. I think it's confidence. He gains your confidence and then steals from you. So then that kind of person, they're called a con artist or a con man. So you can't con a con man.
Yes.
You know, like that. But Krishna can. He's the cheater of the cheat. So that means even that thing, con artistry still has a science. that's coming from Krishna. Devotees aren't interested in it. Like, there's so many sciences, you know, so, but devotees aren't interested, so they don't use it. And those who are, you know, mundane, they may use it. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.